Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
I want to start with three teams, all involving a imperative position, not only in the National Football League, but the most imperative position in sports, in my opinion. That's the quarterback position. You have the Eagles and the Vikings, two teams that are going in the wrong direction. And you have the Ravens, who are appearing as if that they have a very good chance to make the NFL postseason. Let's start with the negative before we get to the positive. And that's with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Minnesota Vikings. Two teams that a year ago met in the NFC Championship game in South Philadelphia. It was a lopsided result as the Eagles just crushed the Minnesota Vikings. And in that game, if you were a Vikings fan, even though you came off the euphoria of what did happen the week before, Saints, Vikings, the Minneapolis Miracle, and you were all in on Case Keenum. What a play. Him to Diggs, the missed tackle. And Vikings fans were thinking they were going to the Super Bowl. Except in that NFC Championship game at Lincoln Financial Field, Case Keenum was horrible. They got a lead 7-0. Then I believe he threw a pick to Patrick Robinson, if memory serves me right. Case Keenum, it went for 6. And then in a 14-7 game, it was a one-score game, Keenum was driving. They're inside the red zone, and Derek Barnett strip sacks him and recovers the fumble. And in that moment, if you were a Viking fan, as you were on the cusp of hosting a home Super Bowl, what it would have been in Minnesota, which I'm still freezing, by the way, from when I went to the Super Bowl in Minnesota, even though it was indoors, you walked around that place, and you were freezing. I had to wear 4 or 5 layers of clothing. I remember I was at the Dicka and Jaws cigar charity event, and I walked outside. There was a cigar lounge, and I don't smoke cigars, but I wanted to check out the scene. There was a bunch of former athletes, former players, coaches that were there, and it was a fun conversation. You have a beer outside in Minnesota with 3 knit hat on, and you also have your North Face and then your sweatshirt. It was freezing, and I had a beer in my hand, a Guinness, I remember. I had a Guinness in my hand, and I was outside at the Super Bowl party. They had heated tents. My Guinness froze in less than 3 seconds. Thankfully, actually, I don't remember if I had to pay for it or not. I don't think I paid for it. Someone bought it for me. But if I paid for it, I'd probably be a little bit more irate about it. Less than 3 seconds, the beer froze. I thought originally maybe I spilled it or something. No, the beer was frozen. I turned it upside down, and it was just absolutely frozen. So anyways, when the Vikings were thinking that they were going to the Super Bowl, as I got off a little bit of a tangent there, but it happens. That's what happens when you get screwed out of a good beer. But anyways, the Vikings, they thought they were going to the Super Bowl. And then Case Keenum had that moment, and you had to make a decision. Were you going to stick with Case Keenum, or are you going to go to something else? And it was 100% the right decision to go to something else. It was. Now, it's not working right now. There's still 2 more years to fix this, but you had to go to someone else. And the big fish on the market was Kirk Cousins, and you elected to reel him in for $84 million guaranteed. Another big fish on the market was John DeFilippo. Another move at the time where we thought it was the right decision. Bring in John DeFilippo. He was on the cusp of going to get a head coaching job, and if you had success in Minnesota, you probably land that job this upcoming year, and maybe he still lands that job. But now he's out of a job. So the Vikings have been a team that had hope last year, got close last year. You thought they'd be right back in the mix. But the quarterback that they paid and the offensive coordinator that they paid, the OC is now fired in John DeFilippo, and a lot of Vikings fans are maybe second-guessing now the decision to bring in Kirk Cousins. In the biggest games of the year, they didn't perform well. Up against the Bears, didn't perform up against the Pats. Their defense isn't killer. Patriots defense looked awesome against Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. And then a game that was winnable in the Seahawks. So the Seahawks have been a nice story this year and a good team. But when the score is that low, you should expect your $84 million quarterback to go score you a few touchdowns. Kirk Cousins has not come through yet. But people will then say, oh, it was the wrong move. It was a horrible move. You can't do it. They had every right to do it. They should have done it. And they did. It's not working out right now. But the question is, how quickly can you fix this? You want to blame DeFilippo for the problems? All right, Mike Zimmer. You get that mulligan. You get that chance with what you've done in the past, and maybe they fire him at the end of the year. I still think that he's going to be safe. And then this upcoming year, you got to fix it and turn around. You don't get two chances to mess this up. Because what you did in this offseason, and I get there's been some injuries too, it wasn't good enough. And this team has done a 180 from where they were at a year ago to being a dominant team to now being a 6-6-1 team. And maybe they could still save the season because of how weak the NFC is. And maybe they could still get in the postseason, play the Dolphins at the Lions, and then home against the Bears. And that game may mean nothing for the Bears. So, yeah, could you win the next two games? And maybe back your way into the postseason? Sure, you can. But I'm not counting on it. I'm not trusting Kirk Cousins right now because this is someone that I never loved Kirk Cousins, and why should you? He's 4-24 versus teams with winning records. I never loved Kirk Cousins, but I thought he'd be good enough to get them back in the conversation, and I'm wrong on that. So am I going to put all my poker chips all in and say, yeah, let's get behind the Vikings after what we've seen the last few weeks? No, absolutely not. But you got to get it right. And another team that has to get it right, and they're not going to get it right this year. They're 6-7, and they'll most likely lose on Sunday to the Rams, are the Philadelphia Eagles. And what do we hear all season long with the Eagles? All season long with the Eagles, we heard, oh, the way that other teams do it, that's not fun. That's what we heard from Lane Johnson. Patriots, they don't have fun. I'd rather win one and have fun than win five. Please. To me, that was BS at the time. There's been many times I've been in the Eagles locker room this year, and at times I want to say to Lane Johnson, because you can tell he's frustrated, and Lane's a nice guy and a heck of a player. But there's been times that I've been in the locker room this year in Philadelphia, and I want to go, hey, Lane, you still having fun? I'm just curious. Are you still having fun? Because this doesn't look fun. But I don't really want to center too much on that. It's more of the entire organization. And I have a lot of respect what the Eagles did last year. And I was buying into them big time going into this year. I thought they were going to win the NFC East easily. I thought they'd be a 3 or 4 seed, I think I picked them. I think they get a bye again because you have to expect a little bit of a fallback from where everything went right a year ago. But I thought this was going to be a team that continues the level of way that they were playing in that right direction of being in that conversation. I was wrong on them. But here's the thing with the Eagles. The owner, the GM, the coach, and a bunch of players said one thing in the offseason. A lot of them. This is the new norm. If you're going to say that, and if you're going to create the expectation that each and every year you're going to be in that conversation to get to the Super Bowl, but then you better back it up. And the Eagles right now aren't backing it up. And if you look at their schedule, there is not a signature win or a great win that they have this year. And they've been a bad football team. And last year when they would always score in the red zone, they're not doing it this year. They would always convert on third down last year, not doing so this year. And you see the way that they've lost some of these games, especially defensively. They always came up with a timely stop. Even in the Super Bowl last year, where Brady threw for 505, who came up with the biggest play of the game? It was Brandon Graham. Team that couldn't get off the field 3 times on fourth down against the Titans. That didn't happen last year. Up 17-0 at home to the Panthers. They would never blow that lead last year. But now it's about getting it right. So really, I don't expect anything else with the Eagles and the Vikings is the point that I'm getting at for the rest of the year. I don't. And with the Eagles, how could you after the Cowboys game and then what happened with the and what should happen with the Rams on Sunday? Now it looks like Carson Wentz won't play, and maybe you don't see him for the rest of the year with the back injury. So you messed up this year with the Eagles and the Vikings. There won't be as much pressure on the Eagles because they just won a Super Bowl, but you know how quickly Philly could turn. And the great fans of Philadelphia can turn. And when you look at the Vikings, there's an enormous amount of pressure because you haven't won one yet. With, you know, you have not won it. At least Doug could ride off this year. They won it, and let's see if they turn around next year. Mike Zimmer has not won the big one. But both of those teams, they're going to have to make changes in the offseason. And they're going to have to find a way to get it right. Because both of those teams could turn around and be back in a nice spot in the postseason for next year. But you have to get it right. And if you don't get it right in this offseason, then there's going to be some drastic changes coming very soon. And then real quickly before we get to the break, we get to the positive. And that's the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens were 4-5 after getting off to a good start. They were 4-5 right before their bye week. And I remember right before that bye week, I said the only thing that could save Harbaugh's job, because it looked like that Harbaugh was going to be a free agent at the end of the year because he was going to get fired. I said the only thing that could save his job is because they invested a first-round pick in Lamar Jackson. If Lamar Jackson comes off the bench, they don't go to Flacco and Jackson plays well. And with the combination of the defense and Lamar Jackson, they've turned it around to being 7-6. And they probably should have defeated the Chiefs last weekend, but they didn't. But you win three in a row and then you lose one. And we find out earlier today that Flacco is good to go, but he will not play. He'll be the backup, and Lamar Jackson's going to be the starter for the Baltimore Ravens this weekend. And I love that decision. It's the right decision. You can't move on from someone that has put you back in the race. And has it been perfectly pretty with Lamar Jackson? No. But he's put you back in the race where, if you look at it now, being 7-6 and have the inside track of getting to the postseason, you can still win this division with the way the Steelers are playing. You have the Bucks, then you're at the Chargers, and then you're home against the Browns. I think Lamar Jackson could win you two out of those three. You may only have to win one. Probably two with the chase that it's in with the Colts, Dolphins, and Titans all having seven wins as well. But the Ravens, you cannot, even though what Flacco's done for that organization in the past, you cannot go back to him right now. You have to ride with the hot hand, and that's Lamar Jackson. And if Lamar Jackson keeps on playing well, then Flacco will never play again for the Ravens in a starting role. I get there's a contract, and there's a lot of years in that contract, and you may not have an out until 2020, but you can't go away from Lamar Jackson. And the best part is you don't have to pay him right now. You don't. So the Ravens are in a good spot. But we've seen it before this year where we thought teams have been in a good spot, and they end up not coming through. Look at the Steelers, where they were a few weeks ago, and now where they currently sit.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
We're talking Eagles, Vikings, and Ravens right now. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll chat a little baseball with David Sampson from CBS Sports HQ, MLB analyst, and also the former president of the Miami Marlins. But, you know, I was thinking about something during the break. I was having a conversation with D-Ben, Tom DiBenedetto. And Tom is all plugged in. He's obsessed with the quarterbacks and the prospects. You'll see him tweeting about FCS quarterbacks or, you know, a Pac-12 quarterback that no one on the East Coast will be watching. But Tom is all plugged in on all these quarterbacks. And I'm not talking about just the big names. And it's with all players in college football. He does a bunch of scouting. What's your Twitter, by the way, D-Ben, so people could follow you?
Producer_Tom.
Okay, and then you know what, Stu, give your Twitter as well, just so you don't go, I hate the fill-in guy who wouldn't let me promote my Twitter on the air.
At Stuart Kovac, CBS.
And then you can follow me on the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. But D-Ben, you have like a great obsession for doing all these scouting reports. And I understand when it's the top players or even guys second, third round, Mason Rudolph. And I appreciate the work that you do because I could read it, then steal the evaluations and go on air and say, oh, yeah, look at this guy from South Harmon Institute of Technology. Let me have him in the fifth round for the Giants or the Jets, the Patriots, you know, the Cardinals, whoever. So I do appreciate the evaluation, but someone that I thought was a very controversial one was Lamar Jackson, because with what he did in college, I thought that he at least deserved the opportunity to prove that he could be a quarterback. But since you study this so much, you remember at the time, people were saying, Maybe wide receiver, not a quarterback. What was your evaluation on Lamar Jackson?
Definitely a quarterback. Tremendous athlete. I really thought that he was a more athletic Michael Vick. Michael Vick was the number one overall pick.
Interesting.
Now the league has changed. That's why he didn't go that high. But I thought his skill set, his arm talent is spectacular. He obviously has accuracy, ball placement issues. But I think that can improve, especially when you're talking about an athlete that special. And he is a running back at quarterback, which is a concern. We're already seeing it in the NFL. I'm taking big hits, but he's used to taking big hits. He took big hits. He had hundreds of carries in college, hundreds, and they almost all ended on contact. This guy doesn't slide. So I thought he could be durable. I thought he could be a huge arm. He just had accuracy issues, and he had a really bad pro day. Really bad pro day throwing the ball, short-arming it, and he's still short-arming like that now. He still isn't confident to throw the way he did in college. But, man, is he a downfield bomber, and when he's on – He can throw it 70 yards on a dime.
And I loved him in college, especially the Heisman year. And you see the way that he plays. He doesn't kill you with the arm right now. It's, you know, two touchdowns against the Chiefs. Nice job, 147 yards. Before that, no touchdowns, no picks, 125. The Raiders and the Bengals game had one touchdown and three interceptions. So he doesn't kill you with the arm. But that's something that they're going to continue to develop and improve on. But it's not as if he's just a rookie quarterback that goes in and can't throw the football and throw it effectively. He's done a nice job. He's been 3-1. That's the most thing that matters most is winning, and he's turned this team around. But then his legs are an absolute killer right now. 119, 71, 75, 67, and two rushing touchdowns. So he's producing on the football field, and he's giving that team new excitement where Joe Flacco gave you no excitement. So that's what it's been nice to see with Lamar Jackson. And I like his character too. And there was a response, I think it was today, they go, is this your team? And he goes, it's our team. If that's someone that gets it, that knows even though Flacco hasn't been great and he still won a Super Bowl there, there's still probably some veterans that still really do love Joe Flacco. And for the rookie who could just come in and be a little cocky and could probably say, yeah, this is my team. And if you want to be Baker Mayfield, you can be Baker Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield, the Browns need a culture like that. But with the Ravens, it's already a culture that's been built. So you don't need the rah-rah guy to change the perception of your team around. And I thought Lamar Jackson handled that very well. But you brought up a great point. And it was, imagine if the Jacksonville Jaguars drafted Lamar Jackson. Because they're not asking him to do too much in Baltimore. They're not asking him to be the main piece, and they wouldn't have done that in Jacksonville. And it's clear that Jacksonville and Blake Bortles, that's a marriage that they fell for it because showed up to the altar last year, got to a AFC championship game, almost got to a Super Bowl. Seems like you're going to be married for 15 years now because you're in the moment. At the time, Blake Bortles, even though he played well in the AFC championship game and at times last year, he played well, but to me, there wasn't this great need to give him that deal. And they gave him that deal. And now they're going to try to either move him in the offseason or they're going to have to keep him because of the money or just eat the money. They're going to have to do something with him. But if they would have drafted Lamar Jackson, there's no commitment to him. It's not as if the fans would have been demanding, play Lamar Jackson, if Bortles was playing well. But you could have been in a much better spot of who is it now? Kessler, I believe?
Yeah.
Than going to Lamar Jackson. You could have went to Lamar Jackson if you would have drafted him. And it's not as if you need to draft him right away. You could have traded back into the first round.
And it fits what the team needed too, Zach. I mean, they're such an athletic, talented
no
roster.
Question.
At least we're coming into the year. That's what we saw it as. They didn't need necessarily a Darnold-type golden boy pocket passing prospect. They needed a guy who could give you a different look and protect the ball and be dangerous, which is what he is, and develop on his own pace. You're right. There would have been no rush to get him in, no necessarily public clamoring to get him in until Bortles fell apart. I thought the match was perfect.
And we talk about teams that had success last year and are really not doing well this year, the Eagles and the Vikings. The Jaguars are one of those teams. Now, it's been drastically worse for the Jaguars. They're not even going to come close to the postseason. And the Eagles, they've been bad. And the Vikings, they still have an outside chance to get into the playoffs. They're the sixth seed if the playoffs do end today. But I can't feel great about them. I just don't. I don't feel great about them the way Kirk Cousins has played. But the Jaguars, just like the Eagles and the Vikings, what are the changes they make in this offseason? Because the Jaguars and the Vikings have a similar feel. You better get it right this upcoming year, this next season, because if you don't, then there's going to be some big changes. And maybe the Jaguars' big changes come this offseason. They're going to have a new quarterback, we know that, but is the coach safe with Doug Marrone? So that's something to just continue to monitor, because there's all these rumors that maybe Tom Coughlin could be coming back to the sidelines.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Getting back into week 15 of the National Football League, which does start tomorrow night with the Chiefs and the Chargers. The Chiefs, they're going to get the number one overall seed, just barring a collapse down the stretch. They put the Chargers, the Seahawks, and then the Raiders. They survived the Ravens game. If they would have lost the Ravens game and actually gained ground, because the Pats lost last week on that ridiculous play at the end of the game to the Dolphins, which I don't know what Gronk was doing on the field, then the Steelers go down, the Texans go down. So this was a Chiefs team that did gain some ground in locking up that one seed. However, the Chargers are right behind them. But I picked the Chargers to get the Super Bowl before the year, and I get there's a lot of injuries in this game. Melvin Gordon, we'll see if he plays. But with the Chiefs, I can't pick against them right now. I really can't. I just can't. They're tough to pick against right now. And maybe the Patriots, they open it up a little bit more in the postseason. They've been really much committing to their run game this year, a little bit more than in years past. And maybe they know that when you go up against a Kansas City, or if you get to the Super Bowl and you play the Saints or the Rams, you really do need that run game to keep the other quarterback and the other offense off the field. And you can never count out the Patriots, but it's tough not to pick the Chiefs right now. And I don't think the Texans are that great. I think they'll be, you know, have the potential to be great for years to come, but I don't look at the Texans this year. I've never had this year as a Super Bowl team. Playoff team, you want to tell me that? Sure. But as a Super Bowl team, no. And the Steelers, we thought that they were right in that position to go on that run after they just survived up against the Jaguars and they lose three in a row. So this Chiefs-Chargers game, the Chiefs could just go ahead and assert their dominance once again in the AFC. And I get it. The Chiefs, they lost to the Pats earlier in the year. The Chiefs then lost the big game to the Rams. So in their two biggest games of the year, they have not won. But you go beat the Chargers, you then take them twice in the division because they beat them week one, and you gain an extra game. So turn out the lights, the party's over in terms of the division, and they'll lock up the number one seed then. But with Kansas City, the one question that I have with them is Andy Reid. And that's what it is every year. It's the Andy Reid question. Is this going to be the year that not only does Andy Reid pull through to get to the Super Bowl, but can he win it? And I've said it before 1,000 times, and I'll say it again. Andy Reid right now in history, right now, and I get it. If I end up having to see Andy Reid win a Super Bowl this year, a lot of my tweets will end up on Freezing Cold Takes on Twitter. Because I've said it a few times, Andy Reid, so if you want to search at Zach Gelb right now and get the tweets ready, because I know there's some of you that sit on your couch like a couch potato and just wait to fire off some of those tweets. It's amazing what some people can find on Twitter. It really is, but that's part of the gig. And sometimes you forget what you tweet and you go, uh-oh, I had that take? What a bad take. And that's why I enjoy Freezing Cold Takes. I do enjoy the account. I do. But my take with the Chiefs has always been, and especially with Andy Reid, good coach. Very good coach. I've called him a very, 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 very good coach. But right now, on December 12th, 2018, I can't call him a great coach. And then people say, oh, why? Because he's never won a Super Bowl. It's not only that. It's because he's made the same repetitive mistakes over and over and over again. Last year, don't run the football after you lose Travis Kelce. You blew a lead at home, a big lead, to the Tennessee Titans, who ended up firing their coach a week later. Remember the Andrew Luck game in Indy? It's another big playoff choke job. And that's just in Kansas City. When him and Peterson were together, too. Down 14 to the Pats. They were moving like molasses. They were so slow. Yadier Molina may have ran down quicker than that team was operating on offense. They were just so slow, down 14. And you saw in the Super Bowl, too, when he lost to the Pats. They were down. Donovan McNabb, puking, take your time, puking, take your time. Just move very slowly. So will Andy Reid finally punch through this year? If he doesn't this year, when is he going to? And then people would say, oh, how about the next year? Because then Mahomes would have more experience. Sure. But if he has a blunder again in the postseason, they're not going to move on from him. We know that. If they were going to move on from him, they would have done so last year. But if he has another blunder in the postseason, it's something that you'll keep on scratching your head about with Andy Reid. And he wouldn't deserve the trust. But right now, I'm giving him, ironically, even with everything I just said, I'm giving him the trust. And not so much just him. It's because Mahomes is unreal. He's a video game. And I know people get obsessed. Oh, that no-look pass. And that's what everyone freaks out about. And I did too. But this guy makes a play every week that you go, how did he just do that? And you see the landscape of the AFC this year. Pats don't look as dominant as they've been before. It doesn't mean they still can't get there. The Chargers are good, but the Chiefs own the Chargers. That's why the Chargers need to send a little message, have a little pushback here to the Chiefs, make this a little bit more difficult to lock up the number one seed or lock up the AFC West. The Ravens, nice defense. Is Lamar Jackson going to win you a Super Bowl in year number one? Probably not. The Texans, yeah, I sell them a little bit short, and I think it's fair to do that. And the Steelers, I thought were a team that could this year. I thought they were a team that could win the Super Bowl, even with all their drama. What the heck has happened to them the last 3 weeks? And then if you want to get into the teams that are in the chase to get into the postseason, the Colts aren't winning a Super Bowl this year. The Dolphins aren't winning a Super Bowl this year. And neither are the Titans. So, what, the AFC? It's the Chiefs right now and then everybody else. And there's teams that are very close to them. But if they don't win it this year, once again, it's going to come down because of Andy Reid. I really do believe that. And it's not as if the NFC is as strong as we thought it was. But before the season started, if you remember, the NFC, I did countless shows, another freezing cold take. I did countless shows over the summer. There could be 1 to 2 double-digit win teams in the NFC that weren't going to make the postseason. That was a big take over the summer. Because you had the Saints, you had the Rams, you had the Vikings, you had the Eagles, the Panthers, the Falcons, the Packers, and all these teams. Well, the Falcons stink. They're 4-9. The Packers fired their coach. They're 5-7-1. The Eagles are 6-7. The Panthers are 6-7. So if I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm feeling great right now, even after the Kareem Hunt situation. Even after that, your team lost a huge weapon. And what he did was despicable. It was disgusting. That video was disturbing. But you wanted to see how the team responded. Beat the Raiders 2 weeks ago, which I know you don't throw a party about that. Sorry, Stu. I get it. The Raiders. I get you're a big fan and you support your team each and every week, but that team stinks. Maybe John Gruden actually should get a GM of the year. Yeah, I said GM of the year. Because he put the Cowboys into a playoff contender, which was not the wrong move because you get a first-round pick, and I like Amari Cooper. And then you make the Bears go from, yeah, a team that could play well. Was I going to say that the Bears going into this year, I didn't think they were going to be a playoff team just because of Trubisky. But you give him Khalil Mack, and that defense was already very good. That defense was from very good to great. They smacked the Rams defensively. It made Jared Goff throw 4 interceptions. So, yes, John Gruden should win GM of the year because of what happened with the Cowboys and the Bears. Now, Stu, do you think Derek Carr will be your team's quarterback next year? Or do you believe that with all these picks that Chucky's going to say, do it my way or the highway, and we're going to put Derek Carr in the highway?
I think he's going to tear down the entire team, including Carr. I think they'll draft a quarterback this year, and I think Carr's cap number for next year is only $7 million. It'll cost them to cut him. So I think this is it for Carr this last year.
Even if he plays well to end out this season.
Yeah, I just don't have the confidence Gruden. I think Gruden just wants an entirely new team. That's just why I think his mind is right now.
Now, I'm with you, too, and I felt that way throughout the season, but we'll bring D-Ben into this conversation as well, our Mel Kiper, Todd McShay here on CBS Sports Radio, D-Benedetto. these quarterbacks this year, is there one that you get real giddy about? Because right now, and it's early in the evaluation process, so I get it. Your StatGeek notes may not be 100% ready.
Not even close.
But is there a quarterback right now that you say Raiders make a 100% sense for?
Not really, no. And actually, my favorite quarterback in the class is Kyler Murray, who we keep hearing is not going to actually play quarterback or football, period. I know it's kind of a controversial take, but that's a guy I've been most impressed with. Justin Herbert has the athletic skill set, but is not ready. He's a better prospect than Josh Allen, but similar kind of vibe, I think. I mean, he would do fine on the Raiders, but I think it'd be a project. It would be a long-term project. I like Haskins. I don't think he's a top 10 type of player. And after that, guys like Drew Lock, I'm not a believer. Greer, I think, is an early second-round type of quarterback, not a top 10, top 15 type of pick. It isn't last year, let's put it that way.
Imagine Gruden doing the quarterback camp with these QBs, though. Let me tell you what, man. Dwayne Haskins, let me tell you what. You're a real player. And you know how I tell you a real player? What you did up against Michigan. Really good job. You know, getting to like the John Dorsey Gruden impersonation. It's kind of very similar. Like, let me tell you what, and then you put a wad of gum in your mouth. And it really is what it's like with talking about John Gruden. But that's the thing. If you get rid of Carr, fans in our world where you immediately react, they expect something instantly. There's not really a quarterback this year that would be the general consensus right now that you could do. But the beauty with the Raiders is, as you know, Stu, they have so many picks that it could be the following draft.
Yeah, or it could be, you know, they have three picks this year in the first round. It could be the Bears pick, which might be the 28th pick or 27th pick.
That too, so trade back in. But I don't know. If I have all those first-round picks, I want my guy early right away. I don't want to do that trade back. And sometimes it works. And sometimes it works out great. But with all the tools and resources that they have, you would think right away, boom, they should be able to get their guy. But it may not be this year, maybe the following year. Now, do you still believe Derek Carr could be a good franchise quarterback?
I do. I don't think he could be a top five quarterback, but I think he could be, you know, around the 8 to 12 range. I think he has potential to be that good, yeah.
Now, do you think they'll just cut him or they'll trade him? Do you think they'll be able to find a team to trade him to, or that's too tough?
I don't know. Like, I feel like there are teams that would want him. Like, why wouldn't a team like the Jaguars want him? Like, I think
money.
They're... Yeah.
Could be.
It could be, but if you have the money, I think he's a good enough player.
Giants?
I don't know what their cap situation is, but maybe.
Yeah, just throwing around teams that could possibly make sense.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Let's get into a little bit of an activity right now. And we know the Chiefs are going to the playoffs. We know the Patriots are going to the playoffs. We know the Saints are going to the playoffs. We know the Rams are going to the playoffs. Not all officially in some of these cases, but some of them are. Also, we know the Bears are going to the playoffs. And then, you know, the Chargers, they're going to playoffs too. Texans going to the playoffs as well. But the rest is really all open. Seahawks should, but not a guarantee. Cowboys will be. They just need one more win. Vikings up in the air right now. They're the six. Panthers and Eagles and Redskins, they're still kicking, but they don't look too hot right now. And then the AFC, you got the Colts, the Dolphins, and the Titans all vying for that six seed. But you got some teams in your way. Ravens right now could eventually be the Steelers. So with those teams and the current playoff picture are the Chiefs 1, the Pats 2, and the AFC. If it was wildcard weekend was tomorrow, the Texans would be home playing the Ravens and the Steelers would be home playing the Chargers. And in the NFC, it's the Saints and the Rams 1-2. 3-6 matchup would be Bears-Vikings, and then the 4-5 would be Cowboys-Seahawks. But when we get into the quarterback play discussion, of these teams that are on the bubble. Who do you trust? Who don't you trust? Who do you have confidence in? And who do you have confidence in? Who don't you have confidence in? So let's start it off in the AFC. Let's look at team and the Dolphins. Right now they're 7-6. Played well up against the Pats. They win the game, but really got gifted a victory. Gostkowski, that happens in the NFL. Sometimes you'd rather be lucky than good. Gostkowski missing an extra point, missed the field goal. He had a debacle at the end of the game with the miracle in Miami. Which, by the way, I saw someone suggest Shock at Hard Rock as the name of that play. What? That's where we're stretching? Now, that stadium changes names every year, it seems like. And I remember it was Hard Rock Stadium or something. I just call it the stadium down in Miami. Yeah, that's what I call it. Stadium down in South Florida. Because you had to keep up with all the names. What was it, like SunTrust or something, one of those years? It changes all the time.
I still call it Pro Player.
Yeah, Pro Player too. So when someone said Shock at Hard Rock, I thought, oh, let me go get like a burger or something. Let me go gamble. Not, oh yeah, that's the name of the stadium. But you know, Shock at Hard Rock, there you go. But anyways, the Dolphins are now in a position where they can make the postseason, which I never thought they'd be a postseason team going into this year. Adam Gase is doing a nice job, and he should be after a year ago basically saying, if you don't do it my way, you're out. When they lost Jay Ajayi, you get rid of Jarvis Landry. But the Dolphins are at the Vikings. They have the Jaguars and then at the Bills to end the season. Tannehill's one of those guys who's right in the middle for me. He just goes, eh. I don't love Tannehill. And a big reason is he can never stay healthy. And that's why I would lean more towards no here. Can he play well and get him into postseason? Yeah, I guess it's a possibility. But with how promising he was supposed to be to what he is right now, don't love Ryan Tannehill. And I still don't know how much longer he has there in Miami. Now, if you make the postseason this year, it's tough to move on for someone after making the postseason, but it would not surprise me if they're in play for a quarterback in this year's draft. So I'm about an eh with Ryan Tannehill. Ben, I know you love these quarterbacks. Where are you at with Ryan Tannehill?
I was just saying, I think you crushed that take. Everybody hates on the guy, but he's just average. That's the problem. It's almost the Cutler problem. It's very similar, where if you are the 16th or 17th best quarterback in the league, everybody goes around acting like you're terrible, but really you're just average. And average isn't good enough to win, to put you in the playoffs, certainly to win playoff games. That's why I agree that I think they want to and should probably move on from Tannehill, but he's not bad.
Put it this way with Tannehill. Would I put money on them right now to make the postseason? No.
No.
Would it shock me if they did make the postseason? No, it wouldn't. This is a weird year in the AFC. Do I believe that he's going to have this turnaround in his career where now the Dolphins make the playoffs the next 2 or 3 years in a row? No, not so much. All right, next one. A team that is quickly fading after we thought, oh, look at this team. Oh, they're great. Oh, they're winning games. They're having nice wins up against the Chargers and the Steelers. That's Denver Broncos. They're 6-7. They have the Browns, they're at the Raiders, and then they're home against the Chargers to wrap out the year. A big fat no if I have trust in Case Keenum. I don't. Just look how it ended last year in the NFC Championship game. And he's thrown a lot of interceptions this year. So no, I don't have trust in Case Keenum. Lamar Jackson. It's not a yes with an exclamation point. It's not an emphatic way. Because he's young. And with all these quarterbacks that are young, you don't know how they'll respond to pressure. But he's riding the hot hand right now. They have a good defense, have a good head coach. I'll give a slightly yes to having confidence in Lamar Jackson. And the proof is really there the last few weeks. Even when he doesn't throw the football well, he could still extend the plays and keep you close into a game. And they should have won the game last week. Now, I had the turnover at the end, and they got lucky that the field goal was off, and then he went into overtime, and they eventually lose. But with Lamar Jackson, it's a slight yes for me in confidence with him. And I picked the Ravens to make the playoffs before the year. I'm going to stick with that. Baker Mayfield, it's a yes. Once again, not a huge yes where I scream and get up on a table and say, oh, the Browns, they're going to come on back and make the postseason because I don't believe the Browns are still making the playoffs. But I like the guts. I like the attitude of Baker Mayfield. So I do have confidence in him. The Indianapolis Colts. Right now, they're 7-6. I know they had that stinker up against the Jags. Cowboys, which a big game this weekend. Then the Giants and then at the Titans. So not the easiest of schedule when you look at their schedule. But you obviously have to trust right now Andrew Luck. Marcus Mariota. At the Giants, the Redskins, and the Colts. The Titans are a team I have no pulse on them this year. I've liked Vrabel. Some weeks, they're beating the Eagles when the Eagles were early in the year. They beat the Patriots. And then they'll let, I know they had the game with Henry up against the Jags, but then you see some of these other performances with the Titans and you go, really? This was a team? Like, there's something, they'll hold the Cowboys to no points in the second half. And then they just look awful in some of these games. And it's a team that it's tough to buy stock in. And I liked Mariota when he was in college with Oregon. Now, I get it. This is a team that lost to the Bills this year. They beat the Jaguars their first time out, 9-6. So there's some ugly games here. 38-10 loss to the Colts, 34-17 loss to the Texans. Just narrowly beat the Jets. I don't know what team shows up. But when it comes in terms of confidence of Marcus Mariota, I'm out on him. I am. And I know that could surprise some people. And I know he had a really good postseason last year in that comeback and the great play that he made catching his own throw. I just don't trust Mariota consistently. I don't. I just don't love him as a quarterback. Not that he's an awful quarterback. But with the health, and then there's just so much inconsistency with him so far. Him and Winston, they were sold as a great 1-2 punch for the National Football League, 1-2, for years to come. I definitely don't see it with Winston. He turns the football over too much, and off the field's another story. Mariota, some days, franchise quarterback look. Other days, not so much, but it's tough to have confidence in him. Dak Prescott, here's how I'll answer this one. And give credit to Dak. He played well at the end of the Eagles game, finding Amari Cooper. I trust their defense. I trust Ezekiel Elliott, and I trust Amari Cooper. I can't trust Dak Prescott. There's some games where the turnovers are just too much for me. But Dak Prescott is at his best. Here's when you trust him. Here's where he's at his best. This is the picture-perfect game for Dak Prescott. 20 of 28, one touchdown, no interceptions. That's what it is. He's a game manager. He's an above-average quarterback. Now, they'll make the playoffs, and I've already said my apologies to Cowboy Nation because I thought your team was done at 3-5, and so did you if you're being honest. But I just don't have this great trust in Dak Prescott. Nice kid. Seems like someone that wants to be a winner in the worst way. Could he win a Super Bowl one day? Maybe, but more so on that defense and more so on that run game than Dak. Russell Wilson. Abso-frickin-lutely. I don't think we need any more explanation. That team in the Seahawks this year, going in, you look at that roster, not a playoff team. The one saving grace I had with them, or two really, is Carroll and Wilson. And they're at 8 wins right now. That is a team that, I don't want to say they're dangerous. I don't think they're a team that could get to the Super Bowl. But if you play them in the first round, that's a tough opponent with that coach and that quarterback. So I absolutely trust Russell Wilson. Kirk Cousins. Heck no. Just see what he did up against the Bears, up against the Pats. In the big spots, he just doesn't do it for me. But they have to find a way. With DeFilippo now being gone, with the expectations were before the season and getting paid $84 million guaranteed, you have to find a way. I don't care what anybody says. I think it was fourth and short in the game last Monday night against the Seahawks. How you're running the football there, I'm sorry, can't do that. Everyone in the world saw you running it. You paid the guy $84 million guaranteed. Let him go make the throw. I got two more. Cam Newton. He's MVP at times. It's close. He said 5 straight games with interceptions. Said multi in some of them. I don't love Cam. I think Cam's a good player, but I don't think he's a great player. He's capable of playing great with the MVP season. It's another team, the Panthers, have been disappointed in them. So it's close on Cam in terms of a yes or a no. And then finally, Big Ben. I'll ask you guys this. We'll go around and then we'll take the break. We'll get to Darwin. We'll even bring Darwin into this conversation. Do you trust Big Ben right now? Let's start with Darwin Zook.
No, not right now. The losers are 3 in a row, the way that team's playing, and he's had interceptions down by the goal line, and now he's playing a Patriots team. He had an interception at the goal line last year when they played.
To Daron Harmon, right?
Yeah, I don't trust him in these big spots. And people talk about how clutch he is, but I don't see the proof right now at this time that he's going to step up and suddenly lead this team back in a playoff.
And you have the Pats and then the Saints. That's a tough double whammy with the team that's struggling. Mr. Stu Kovacs, what do you got for me on Big Ben? Do you trust him?
I don't. Obviously, I watched a lot of that game on Sunday between the Steelers and Raiders, and besides the point that he was hurt in the rest of the game, just really didn't impress me that much.
By the way, the x-ray machine could have been old. Just saying. Could have been old. Maybe it wasn't that hurt. It could have just been the x-ray machine. Could have been antiquated. D-Ben, what you got?
I wish I could argue the other side, but I can't. I don't trust him. He is not a stable quarterback or a stable leader.
Here's the thing, though, right now. Because of his history, you want to trust him, but I can't right now. I agree with you guys. Now, this game against the Patriots, I think it's a toss-up. I really do believe it's a toss-up. It'd go either way. If he beats the Patriots, and the Steelers, I can't even remember the last time they they beat him. It was, I know it was in Pittsburgh. It seemed a while ago.
The last seven meetings, I believe, are all Patriots.
I think LeBeau was actually the defensive coordinator.
Right. Yeah.
And they beat him pretty much going away. It was in Pittsburgh. I remember the game. I don't remember what year it was, but it was a while.
They're trying out kickers right now, too.
Yeah. Which is another thing. But until Big Ben and the Steelers take Brady down, you do that this week, I'll put some more confidence back in the Steelers. But right now, I'm with you. I can't trust Big Ben right now. I don't know where his head is at right now either.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
855-212-4CBS. Let me take a quick phone call, and then we'll get to a theory about the Steelers that someone had in this building. Let's get to Joel in Colorado. Next up with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio, in for Bill Ryder. Joel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great. Go ahead.
Hey, in total agreement with all of you guys on Ben, and I think the thing that was understated when you started talking about Ben was just the fact that he can't be trusted as a leader at this point. You know, you can't overstate that dynamic, you know, that's so important for the guy that's the most important position on the team for him to also be a leader. And, you know, just the past few years, it's really weird, man. I even with all the scandal previously, I always wanted to like the guy. I'm a Broncos fan living in Colorado, but I liked him from the time he was drafted, and he's become kind of smug and really full of himself. And, you know, the thing with Mason Rudolph this year was just kind of the last straw for me. You know, not pulling the Brett Favre and not knowing whether he's going to come in. I'm kind of over it. But my key point was people have been talking a little bit, and I'm a Rams fan from the outside, just the way they put that team together. Really having signed Vance Joseph, really jealous of having a Sean McVay, and, you know, jealous that they ended up with Wade when we let him walk. But there's something about that team that's just not clicking. And, you know, and 3 weeks ago, everybody would have said they're the odds-on favorite to win it. And I look at it now and I go, you know, there's three teams that they've played this year that there's no way they make it and win a Super Bowl without playing one of them. They're going to have to play the Bears or the Saints again. And, you know, if you go to the Super Bowl, you may end up having to play the Chiefs. And, you know, they lost to two of those teams, and they could have lost to the third. And I just feel like at this point, there's something not right there. And maybe you get back, maybe you're able to use that as a chip on your shoulder to get the W in the second game. But it concerns me that they haven't played up to their capability against the Saints, against the Bears, and almost lost the game against the Chiefs. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the phone call. And with the Rams, I'm not too concerned about them. They lost to the Bears. Maybe that's one of their loss that a team that's having a very good year, they just have along the way, and they bounce back and they're fine. For me, with the Rams, and they won the Chiefs game, and I know Gurley was banged up in that game, but it seems like in the games that are close or the games that they lose, they don't run the football enough with Gurley. And that's the one tough thing. Goff is a good quarterback. He's not great right now. So when you ask him to throw the ball in the mid-30s, low 40s, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to make mistakes. Threw the ball 44 times on Sunday night. 4 interceptions. So, and I get the Bears have a great defense, but I can't get too caught up in one game when you have a team that's 11-2. Because does anyone think the Bears are going to the Super Bowl this year? Even if you're the biggest Bears fan in Chicago, take the rooting interest aside. Do you think the Bears are going to the Super Bowl? I don't. Fun story. Like Nagy. Nice job out of Trubisky this year. The defense, it's great. But I can't overreact after one loss. Just the same way as with the Saints and the Cowboys. Same thing for the Cowboys. I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl. But are people freaking out about the Saints because they lost that game to Dallas? No, I'm not. So with the Rams, the one thing that you could be skeptical about is just the unknown. Because last year, Wiz Kid McVay, oh yeah. They're going to be fine. They're going to be all good. They'll get to the NFC title game. You know, they'll get to the, you know, they'll win a playoff game, and they didn't. So with the Rams, it's just the inexperience. And I wonder what the tone will be with the Rams. If they're going to get that bye, what happens with the Rams And I have a ton of respect for Sean McVay, but we have anointed him the next genius, the next whiz kid, just as we have with the Boston Celtics and Brad Stevens. Little bit different because Stevens took a program and Butler in college to back-to-back championship games. They didn't win either of them, but took them to back-to-back championship games up against Duke and then UConn. So a little bit different. But we anoint these guys as these whiz kids, as these great coaches, and they still need to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy or the Lombardi Trophy. So I just wonder with the Rams, if they don't find a way to at least get to the NFC Championship game this year. Because they lost last year in the wild card to the Falcons. That was a home game for the Rams. If you don't find a way to get to at least the championship game, which you think you would, because a lot of us want to see Saints and Rams again, which doesn't mean we'll get to see it. A lot of us for years wanted to see Brady and Manning. We didn't get to see that every postseason. But if you can't get to the NFC Championship game, I wonder if nationally or even locally in LA, if the tone on McVay at all moves, even if they don't get to the NFC title game this year, I don't think the tone moves drastically because of the way that people love this coach and how young he is and still how much more he has to prove. But there will be some doubters. And right now, that's the only thing for me that I doubt with the Rams is their inexperience with Goff and with McVay. Can they win the Super Bowl this year? Absolutely. There's only a handful of teams that can win the Super Bowl this year. A few weeks ago, I had it as five. I had the Rams, the Saints, the Pats, the Chiefs, and then the Steelers. Now the Steelers are starting to fade away. Rams and Saints are still there. Chiefs are still there. There's some skepticism with the Pats, but you can't rule them out until they go down. And you start to wonder, with the Steelers fading away and the AFC, does that open up the door for Houston? I don't think Houston's going to the Super Bowl. Does it open up a door for the Ravens if they're hot once again? Going into the postseason, and not a Super Bowl team to me. And then the NFC, with Dallas and Chicago, they keep on playing well. They keep on winning games, but I'm not ready to say that they are Super Bowl teams. And give the Bears a ton of credit for doing what they did. They had an opportunity. They smelled that they could go get a great player to really change that team, and they did so with Mac. And then, you know what? I hate to give Jerry Jones credit, but it's time to give the Cowboys credit too. We all laughed at Jerry Jones. Our first-round pick for Amari Cooper, and I like Amari Cooper. I do. But that trade, saw a little bit of a window. Didn't buy the Redskins. Didn't buy the Eagles. And they got some luck along the way. The unfortunate injury to Smith. The Eagles not being able to pull back together. They got some luck, but they've also beat the teams that they've had to beat. And they beat the Saints, too, which was one of those statement games. So the Cooper trade, it ended up working out. And also give Jones and company credit for drafting Leighton Van Der Esch. Everyone, Calvin Ridley this, Calvin Ridley that. And Calvin's had a nice year, but man, Leighton Van Der Esch with Jalen Smith. And that was another thing, Jalen Smith, injury, was going to be a first-round pick. We knew that. But not all the time the teams want to be patient. And they were patient and ends up paying out. So hey, this thing unfolds and this thing plays out. Very, very, very curious to see how this goes down this year. Because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of teams that have a chance to win a Super Bowl. And maybe this is one of those years where you get a sixth seed that comes into the postseason like we've seen in years past and just gets hot. Or maybe someone surprises. And wouldn't it be something if it was a team like the Bears that wins it all this year? And this year where it's offense, 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 genuflect to offense. It was a little bit fun to see. I'd much rather see 35-30, don't get me wrong. But it's a little fun to still see the Bears play the way that they did up against the Rams. Be something if the Bears win the big one this year. In the year that it's all about Mahomes with the Chiefs and the offense and what we're seeing in New Orleans, what we're seeing in L.A. Be something if Chicago wins it. I don't think they will, though.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, D-Ben, what do you got for me on the questions?
This is fun. This is different. I like this. A little bit of a mix-up. We'll begin in the NFL.
Well, you got to be careful there. You don't want to sound too excited, because then Bill could be listening and could get agitated with your excitement level, saying, why don't you show this exuberance when you do the segment with him?
That's totally fair, Bill. I wish you were here. We all miss you very much. But since you're not,
we're
very excited to have
you. Genuflect to Bill Ryder.
That's
Ryder Than You.
Right. That's what this show is about, isn't it?
You just got to make sure that you're being right here in this situation. You know, you don't want maybe Bill to come back to the show tomorrow and say, buy or sell, Tom DiBenedetto will have a job by the end of the week.
I think it's very possible that exact thing happens tomorrow.
Sell.
There you go.
Tom must be thinking, man, why did they let this kid
this
Zach
went
Gale
well.
Post?
I had to act excited that you were here, and that really backfired
be
on
pedestrian.
Me.
Be pedestrian. All right,
okay, let's start in the NFL. The Baltimore Ravens are currently 7-6 on the season, winners of three of their last four, with their one loss being that three-point loss to the Chiefs in overtime this past Sunday. What makes their strong play of late even more impressive is that they've done it without starting quarterback Joe Flacco, who has been sidelined with a hip injury. Flacco is healthy now, but head coach John Harbaugh announced today the team is sticking with Lamar Jackson as a starting quarterback. Buy or sell the Ravens making the right move by sticking with Lamar?
Buy.
Here's why it's the right move. A few weeks ago, right before their bye, when they were under 500, the feel was, even though John Harbaugh is a good coach, this was coming to an end with his time in Baltimore. I remember when I do onsides, offsides, which is a similar exercise as I do on my weekend show, the question was, should the Ravens go to Lamar Jackson? I said at the time, onsides, absolutely. Because that's the only way new life with a young quarterback and what would be a transition stage next year would save your team. Harbaugh is a good coach. He'd get a job in a second. But right now, he should pull a Rex Ryan, and he should be kissing the feet of Lamar Jackson, because Lamar Jackson saved John Harbaugh's job with the Baltimore Ravens and what they've been able to do in the last four games and playing close up against the Kansas City Chiefs. And because of that, you have to, barring injury, play Lamar Jackson. Number two.
Earlier today, a report surfaced from Nicole Auerbach at The Athletic regarding the future of the college football playoff system. As of now, the playoffs is just four at-large teams, as we all know and have seen the last few years. But according to Auerbach, numerous presidents, athletic directors, and commissioners around college football are frustrated with the system and are looking to expand the playoffs to eight teams. Buy or sell, expanding the college football playoff to eight teams would be a good idea.
Buy.
I would love this idea. And everyone has their format. People could just say, I don't want to go to expansion to six or eight teams. I want six teams. I want eight teams. I would want eight. And I get it. Every year, you don't have eight great teams. But here is my formula. People go right away, hey, get rid of conference championship games. I don't think you have to get rid of conference championship games. Or you could maybe stress the importance of the conference championship if you want to get rid of the conference championship games, just who the conference champion is in the regular season, by awarding the top Power 5 schools in the that win your conference, whether it's in the conference championship game or just throughout the regular season, a spot in the college football playoff, which over the years, conference championships haven't meant that much all the time to the selection committee. So you have those five. Then you also have one spot to the group of five schools, not the Power 5, but the G5 schools, whether it's a UCF, whether it's a Houston, whether it's PJ Fleck, and what he was able to do a few years ago with Row the Boat, and you give one of those spots. But here's where I put the emphasis on winning the conference. You have those six schools. So if you win your conference, you have your Power 5 schools and the one G5 school every year. Give them a seat at the big boys' table. They get seated 1-6, and then you have two wild card spots, 7 and 8. So if you don't win your conference and you get a little bit of a tougher matchup in the first round, sorry, should have won your conference. But I love the idea of expansion. I could do an entire show on this. I've done entire shows on this. I like going to eight teams. Some years you may feel like you don't need it, but years like this, yeah, it would have been nice to see in Georgia. It would have been nice to maybe see LSU. You go down the list and Ohio State. Those schools can make an argument for. And then also, we can finally see if UCF would actually be worthy of the national championship, as they're the defending national champs. I love American Athletic Conference football. This whole national championship stuff, It was cute at first. It was nice at first. Now, it's getting annoying. All right? Because if you played Alabama, Alabama would win by at least 30. They'd win 60 to 30, something like that. So, I'm buying, though, on the idea of giving expansion to the college football playoff because it's exciting. I want to see it. And then you'll have some people that will host on this network that go, oh, I need to see more games. Blah, blah, blah. What are you, just lazy? Because that means you have to watch more games for your job? Come on. All right, next question.
Is that a real take? Ouch.
You never know. Weekend radio here is different than what happens in the weekday. We get some people with some crazy takes.
That's my domain over there.
We're trying to get into the weekday.
The NFL announced earlier today that a total of 5 international games will be played next season. 4 of those games will be played in London. The other 3 will be in Mexico City. Despite the fiasco a few weeks back where the league had to move Rams versus Chiefs back to L.A. less than a week before the game.
That worked out well.
The NFL has also specified that the Jags, Rams, Chargers, Raiders, and Bucks will be the 5 teams losing a home game to play internationally next year. Buy or sell international games being good for the NFL and its fans.
Sell.
They're good when there's 1 or 2 a season. What did you say? 5 international games next season? Way too many. I get you want to take the league to London, maybe to China, maybe to Mexico City. I get that. But when you have to make 5 international games, you're screwing your fan here in America. I get it. A lot of people around the world love football. I can't blame them. Football is everyone's drug of choice here in the United States. Look at everything that happens. Disgusting things happen off the field. We're all appalled by them. We're all irate about them, but we still watch. So you're screwing your home fans. Now, you can make the case, well, maybe some of those fans should show up a little bit more. Well, Jaguars fans, sure. Raiders and Chargers and Bucks. Yeah, I could see why you maybe want to send those teams outside of America for some of these games. I can understand why you want to send the Jaguars to London. Or you make them a little trip to Mexico City. I could get that. But 5 games? Way, way, way too much.
According to multiple reports, Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz might miss this week's game against the Rams and could miss the rest of the season with a back injury. Wentz missed multiple practices earlier this year with the same injury and missed the end of last season and beginning of this one with a torn ACL. Buy or sell Carson Wentz's recent injuries being a major concern for the Eagles moving forward?
Sell.
I can understand why you would buy this. The ACL is a concern. The way he plays the game is a concern. I just don't know yet how bad the back is. Does it make you feel great when you have the ACL? No. Does it make you feel great when he has the back? Absolutely not. Major concern? Not a major concern yet, because I still want to see what Carson Wentz does a full year removed off the ACL, which are right in that territory because the injury happened last year up against the Rams late in the season. So if he comes back next year, gets hurt again, or doesn't play well, and he wasn't horrible this year. He played, he still made a difference on the field, but he had some turnovers. But if he comes back next year and it's all over the place and it looks ugly, then I would be concerned in a major way. Right now, you don't feel great about it. Doesn't sit fantastic in a fantastic way with you. There's some skepticism, but I won't say it's major concern right now. Concerning, but not major.
MLB's winter meetings are in full swing, and 2 premier free agents continue to be Bryce Harper and infielder Manny Machado. Both are expected to sign deals exceeding $200 million, but it's unclear where and when we can expect both to sign. So buy or sell both Manny Machado and Bryce Harper being unsigned through the new year.
Buy.
See, I prepared for this question in advance because I was on the fence. So I figured I would go to someone that was a little bit more knowledgeable about the situation. Dave Sampson, the former president of the Marlins, who joined us in the 6 p.m. Eastern hour. And when I asked him that question, he said that he thinks it will be signed after the new year. See, I said, when you said, he said, I think it will take some time. I go, how much time? You know, maybe through the new year? He goes, yeah, it could be. It seems like Harper is not getting what he wanted. So because of the convincing on David Sampson, who, by the way, said he would rather have a root canal than negotiate with Mr. Boris and Scott Boris, I will go that I will sell, I will buy this, that they won't be signed when the new year does happen. Now watch. It'll be like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4,
and breaking
3, 2.
News.
Breaking news. John Heyman reports Bryce Harper's signed. Oh, by the way, Happy New Year. And then I'll get trolled for it. But hey, it's the business we live in.
Freezing cold takes. All right, last one. One of the more surprising teams in the NFL this year has been the Seattle Seahawks, who are now 8-5 after their Monday night win against the Vikings. After Richard Sherman and the Legion of Boom broke up, many predicted the Seahawks would struggle this season. Seattle plays Sherman and the 49ers this week, and defensive lineman Frank Clark had some interesting comments on Sherman on Monday, saying, quote, "He's not in this locker room no more, so his opinion really doesn't matter. They've got some problems over there in San Fran that he needs to be worried about. This is my team now. This is my defense. Richard Sherman, his era is over here. If he's got anything to say about our defense, he can say it on the field at the end of the day," end quote. Buy or sell that moving on from Richard Sherman has been the main reason why the Seahawks have had a successful season.
Buy.
And I want to be careful with this. Richard Sherman was a great player for the Seahawks. However, in the fashion that they've lost, and I've talked to Cliff Avril about this, and he told me some guys, when they lost the Super Bowl, when Malcolm Butler picked off Russell Wilson at the goal line, we all know the play, when they elected not to run it with Marshawn Lynch, some guys were never able to recover from that. So with Richard Sherman, he's had a lot of success. He's also very loquacious. He's never afraid to speak his mind and his opinion. But when you're trying to bring in younger guys or new faces, having a guy that has been there for so long that still tries to say, I'm the alpha male, this is how we do things, and I'm not afraid to speak my mind, could hurt a football team. Now, there's been other reasons why the Seahawks had to make all these changes. Not a lot of people thought Cliff Avril would have to retire because of what was a career-ending injury. Same thing goes for Cam Chancellor. You had the Earl Thomas situation. So they've had some bad luck. But then you look at two guys that were very outspoken, which I don't have a problem being outspoken. But Sherman was sent to the 49ers. The Seahawks also got rid of Michael Bennett. Now, Michael Bennett's having still a heck of a year with the Eagles. These guys could still play. But the leaders of this team now is really Russell Wilson. This is Russell Wilson's team. But the defensive guys still couldn't get over the mistake that the OC, Carroll, and Wilson made in that game in the Super Bowl. So you needed a new fresh start. And before this year, people were wondering about the Seahawks. I said, I'm not picking them to be in the playoffs this year, but don't be surprised if Russell Wilson and company are better than what you think. And they are better than what we think right now, being 8-5. And I think a big reason for that is they got rid of some of the players that did win for them in the past, but everyone has an expiration date. And those people's expiration date in Seattle, well, it was up. So there you go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.